the Lord helps me, I'd turn your prayerful attention to the New Testament, to the letter to the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, and chapter 6, and part of verse 18. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. And here we see much of the language being picked up of what we read about, really, in the cities of refuge and those fleeing from the Avenger of Blood. Hebrews chapter 6, verse, I'll read the whole verse to start with. Hebrews 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And particularly the picture here, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Here the writers of the Hebrews is picking up on this theme, really, that we have set before us in these cities of refuge. When Israel was to come into the promised land, there was to be these six cities spread across the land, three in the east of Jordan and three in the west of Jordan. And they were to be for those that had were guilty, really, of manslaughter. So if you kill somebody by mistake, through an accident of an axe head coming off or something like that, you could flee to one of these cities, and the Avenger of Blood would be chasing after you in response to the one that had been killed. They were representing them a representative. But if you went to this city of refuge, then there was a place of safety there. That's the picture that we have. And the Hebrew writer picks up that and shows that there's a picture here of fleeing to a place of refuge, realizing our sin and our troubles. And so I want to speak of that, really, and to look at this picture in the Old Testament that we have in Numbers 35, that and to show that this is a picture of something of what it is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to find a refuge and to find a place of safety in him. Well, first of all, we see then that there was this guilt, this person who recognized that they were guilty of manslaughter. That is, killing somebody without meaning to kill them. A road traffic accident we would have today or something of that sort of nature. The person is still guilty of manslaughter, even though they had no intention of killing somebody. So this is for the sin of manslaughter. But of course, you might say, well, but what happens if the sin isn't manslaughter? What happens if there is a greater sin? We think of David, King David, guilty of adultery and then murder. What hope would there be here? And of course, it specifically talks about if somebody was a murderer, then they were not to find refuge in this city. They might go and run to the city, but when it was found out that really it was murder that they had been involved with, not manslaughter, then they would receive, they would not be protected. And so there was a limit, you see here, on what this city of refuge could save them from. But you see, the Old Testament is shadows of good things to come. And how the city, though this city of refuge that was appointed by God, could not save, could not protect from all sorts of sin. We know in the New Testament that he is faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins. We can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek for that place of refuge. So I want to look at this account that we have before us. First of all, the guilt, the realization, this was not everybody needed to flee to these cities of refuge, but there was those that realize that they were involved with manslaughter or killing somebody. So it's a serious offense. And the idea behind this is that life is important. And we live in a day, of course, with this bill of euthanasia that thankfully didn't get through, run out of time, and also abortion. We live in a time when life is not always valued as it should be in the country in which we live. But life is given by God, and it's precious, and we should preserve life. And this is the seriousness of taking somebody's life, even if you didn't do it intentionally. Even if it was just what we would call an accident, a road traffic accident or something like that, it's still serious. It's still somebody has lost their life. And God is the giver and the taker of life. And these things need to be treated seriously. So that's the underlying message, that the value, because we are made in the image of God. And therefore life is important. And life is to be lived to the glory of God. But here there were those particular type of people, particular individuals that had been involved in this. They were to, when it happened, they were to run and flee as quickly as they could to this city of refuge. Because if not, they would get overtaken by this person who is called the Avenger of Blood. This was one who represented the relative. It was really a representation in a kindness, a concern for the relative, that this relative had been wrongly killed, and there would be some somebody to speak for them, and somebody to represent them. And it's interesting, although we hear it's described as the Avenger of Blood, actually the original word in the Hebrew is the same word that we have in the book of Ruth, speaking of a redeemer. You might think, how do you bring those two together? But the work of a redeemer was to, or the work of this Goel, was to represent a family member when difficulties came. It was to raise up seed in the name of the dead, as it was in Ruth's case. There was also to restore that which had been lost by slavery, or into slavery, or through poverty. There was to, in Ruth's case, to raise up seed in the name of the dead. But also, this was another aspect when a family member, a close family member, was killed. They didn't have the police force to go out and find the person who was responsible. It was the responsibility of this near kinsman to act on behalf of the one that had died and to represent justice. You see, if somebody gets killed and nobody takes any notice, you say, justice, where is justice? This person's got killed and nobody takes any notice. Everybody just carries on as if it hasn't happened. We would say that's injustice. No, it was the responsibility, you see, of this this near kinsman to do this. And in our Bible, it's translated as the Avenger of Blood, whereas a lot of other places, the same word is translated Redeemer. But it's the same person. It's the same one. And you might say, how does that work? Ah, well, you see, God is a just God. He's a just God. So this Avenger of Blood was not some villain, some ungodly person. It was somebody who had the a love to the one that had been killed. And a love for justice, and a desire for justice to be meted out. And here we see something of the issue. You see, why are we fleeing from the wrath to come? It's because justice, we're on the wrong side of justice. We think all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're on the wrong side of justice. People often say, we want justice, we want justice. Well, it's good. God wants justice too. But do we realize that justice, if it's executed against us, would mean that we would be condemned because we're sinners? Justice before a holy God would only put us out of his presence and away from him without Christ. And so we see here something of this picture. This one that has been involved with manslaughter comes to recognize their need of fleeing. They realize they cannot stay where they are. If they stay where they are, they will get overtaken by this avenger of blood, this one who is the family representative for this person that has been killed, and they have the right to kill them if they do not flee to this city of refuge. And so the idea was that these cities of refuge would be located, spread out, and nobody would be very far from a city of refuge. And so, but these cities of refuge were actually Levitical, they're where the Levites lived. I think there was more than 40 cities of Levites were spread across Israel. The tribes had their areas to live in the promised land, but the Levites didn't have an area of their own. They were scattered across all the tribes. You had the Levite cities, and six of these Levite cities were these cities of refuge. So they weren't prisons. They were cities of refuge. There were places where the Levites lived, and the Levites, of course, were connected with the worship of God and the service of God. And they were to run to that place, and they were to find a sanctuary there amongst what was recognized to be God's people, those that were involved in the work of God. So here, there's something of a picture. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It was not those that weren't involved in guilt, those that didn't realize or didn't have any, everybody in Israel was obviously involved with manslaughter, thankfully, but only those that were. This was very important to, and suddenly that city of refuge became the place to go to, the only place of safety for that person. That's the picture in the Old Testament. But of course, we realize that spiritually speaking, it's not just the manslayers. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners, and therefore we need to flee to one of those cities of refuge. We need to know that place to go. Well, we see secondly, so that's the picture, a sinner needing to flee to a city of refuge, pursued by this avenger of blood, who themselves was not a wrong person. They were interested in justice. And yet justice for a guilty sinner means condemnation. But to flee to that city. If we look in verse 11 of chapter 35 of Numbers, "Then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any persons unawares." So these cities were not the idea of Moses. They were not the idea of somebody who had suddenly killed somebody. That they thought that I really do need a refuge. What shall I do? No. Before ever the event had taken place, God had appointed that there would be in Israel these cities of refuge, six of them. This was God's appointment. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ as God's appointed Son, foreordained before the foundation of the world, Christ, the Lamb slain, that there would be this one who would provide a refuge for his people, a refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. But this was not Moses' idea. It wasn't the person who had killed the manslayer's idea. This was God's appointment. Before it happened, before the sin had been committed, there was this appointment of a refuge. And we see there the whole plan of salvation was appointed before the foundation of the world, before any sinner ever fell, before Adam took of the forbidden fruit and Eve. There was an appointed way that God would deal with sin. He made a way. And if he had not have made that way, there would be no way. But it's God's appointed way. We didn't have time to read this part, but there's more details given in Deuteronomy chapter 19 regarding these cities of refuge. And I'll just read one or two verses. Deuteronomy chapter 19, Deuteronomy is the second time of giving the law. Moses is giving that just before he leaves Israel through death. Deuteronomy 19 verse 3, "Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither." So the idea here was that they were to prepare ways which paths that were plain and not overgrown and with potholes in them, as it were, good roads, so that everybody in Israel could very quickly get to a city of refuge. So it was not just that there were these cities of refuge, but you couldn't quite find out where they were. The idea was that they were well signposted, well known, that this is where you go when you find yourself in this situation. And I guess that's a picture of the preaching of the gospel. God has appointed a way where sinners can be made right with God, a haven, a place of refuge for sinners. And yet it is a proclamation of the gospel that is to preach that way and to make that way clear. That is not just a way, but it's covered over with briars and thorns and potholes and lack of bridges, and so you can't get there if you tried. No, the idea is here that that the way would be prepared. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land. It was to be a clear path. It was to be a quick way, so they could quickly, this person that recognized that they had killed somebody unintentionally, would be able to flee quickly to this place of refuge. And it was not just for the Israelites. If you look in Numbers 35 verse 15, we read, "These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among you, that everyone that killeth any persons unawares may flee thither." So it was not just for the Israelites. This was also for strangers and sojourners in Israel. And the picture there, of course, is that when we think of this in a New Testament sense, it is of every kindred, nation, tribe and tongue. When they recognize their sin, when they recognize their need. And so the great point is, and the important point in the preaching of the gospel is, and the work of the Holy Spirit is, to bring people to realize that they are guilty. You see, all the time they didn't realize, all the time they didn't come into the category of a manslayer, then the road and the straightness of the road and the closeness of the city of refuge, all of those things didn't seem very important. But once you came to realize that you were guilty, and then the appointed way that God had appointed, the cities that God had appointed, then came into their own, and they would be received in by the Levites. And then once they were in the city, they were protected then from the avenger of blood until they'd had that proper hearing, that court hearing, to find out whether they really were a manslayer, they really were what we would call a manslaughter, or whether it was murder. And that was the depend on whether they could continue living in the city of refuge. That's where the type breaks down, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some sins, but all sin. And you see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel, there is this way, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The hope of those two immutable things, his promise and his oath. That he has promised to do this for his people. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is those who have fled for refuge. And the whole picture is a picture of haste. Not just casually saying, well, yes, I suppose I have come short, but a case of the need to run to the city. You see, and that's another point. The safety was only inside the city. You might say, but I'm on the road. This is the main highway to this city. I'm on the road. But if you're on the road and the Avenger of Blood came, he could kill you because you weren't in the city. You needed to be in the city. You needed to get there. You needed to be received in. Of course, this is a picture that runs through the Word of God. And Paul speaks of it so much in the New Testament. Those that are in Christ, not close to Christ, not just that they know about Christ. Oh, you could have known a lot about these cities of refuge. But if you were guilty, you needed to be inside it. You needed to be in that city. You needed to have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before you in the gospel. That's the picture that Paul's using here in the preaching of the gospel. So it's only safety inside the city. If you look in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 25, you have that there. No, sorry, 26. Numbers 35 verse 26. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. So he had to be in the city, and he had to stay in that city. It was a city where the worship of God was practiced. It was not a prison. And we think of that as when the Lord's people flee to refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before them. They're not sent to a prison. They're sent to a place of worship. As the Lord's people gather together, as sinners that have fled to refuge, they're not gathered together in a prison. They're brought together to a place where worship takes place. The worship of God. The Levite cities. And the Levites were spread across the whole land of Israel. And the Levites represented those that were involved in the work of God. Like we would say, preachers of the gospel are to be spread. We're not to have all the preachers of the gospel in one part of the country, and then all the other country doesn't have any. That's not much help. They need to be spread around. They need to be amongst the people. And so the Levites were in their cities as they dwelt amongst the different tribes of Israel. But these six Levite cities were particularly set up to receive these people that came with this problem. And of course, there is this invitation, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You think of the tiredness, the panting perhaps of this one fleeing, seeing the city ahead and running as fast as they can. The avenger of blood behind them, will they get there in time? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In Romans 8 we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Ah yes, so this one, if we think of the picture here, if they were guilty just of manslaughter and not murder, then they were safe in that city. The type breaks down. If they were guilty of murder, they would not be protected. Remember, this is a real physical picture. A murder is serious. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, is able to cleanse us from all sin. He's able to go beyond the law. Same with the lepers. There was many lepers in Israel, but it was the Lord Jesus that was able to deal with lepers and to change their leprosy. Not just to command them, look at them and declare that they were clean, but to make them clean. That's the difference of the Lord Jesus Christ. Safety only in the city. The only place of safety. But what are the pictures of what we've got to flee from? You see, thinking of that spiritually for us, if we feel that we're quite righteous ourselves, we don't need to flee to these cities of refuge. But we're good enough. We haven't been involved in murder or anything like that. We haven't got involved in any of the darker side of life. We've lived an upright life. We don't need to flee to one of these cities of refuge. Well, it's the preaching of the gospel that shows us, and the work of the Spirit that reveals that all we like sheep have gone astray. It is not just for some particular class of the human race that need to flee to these cities, as it was in Israel. Not everybody needed to flee to these cities. You see, it was a picture. But it's a picture of something that now is true of all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to flee to this city. All need to be found inside that city, that only place of safety. They had to flee. But we think of self-righteousness, good works. There was, many years ago, there was a lady that came up to a minister and said, "How much do I have to know the depths of my sin before I can be saved?" A good question. How much do I need to know of the sinfulness of sin, and how much do I need to know these things? And the answer that was given, I thought, was very, very helpful. You need to know them enough to flee to Christ. However much you know them, if you're still happy to live in the city of destruction, if you're still happy to live outside the cities of refuge, you don't know it enough. But if you've seen enough of your sin to make you run to the city of refuge, then you know it enough. It doesn't mean that the Lord won't show you more of your sin as you go on in the Christian path, but I believe he will. "Turn again, O Son of Man, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these." God does lead his people and show them more of their own sin, but then also show them more of the beauty of his salvation. "For this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So we need to know enough of our sins to make us recognize that if we stay where we are, if we stay looking to our own works, looking to our own self-righteousness, looking to our own the report of our neighbors that live around us that may think we're quite good, if we're happy with that and we're happy with that standard, then we haven't understood enough that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We will be overtaken by the justice of God. This avenger of blood was not a negative person. It was one that was carrying out God's justice. But then we read, we read together in Numbers 35, in verse 25, this interesting detail. "And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled." So when there's been that trial to see whether he was really guilty of manslaughter or of murder, when it turns out that it was manslaughter, then they should stay in that city of refuge. And look at this detail, "whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil." So I believe this is the only place in the Old Testament that linked something, some liberation and some change of state to the death of the high priest. And surely this is a shadow of good things to come, the death of the high priest. We think of the death of our great high priest and how that changes our state eternally. "As he laid down his life, therefore we live. Because I live, ye shall live also." But it's all linked to the death of our great high priest. and how that brought liberty in the Old Testament. There were so many sacrifices and so many animals were killed. But here we specifically have it linked with the death of the high priest. Now, the high priest was not put to death. This was not something that was done to him. He died because he was old, because he was not permitted to live forever like we are not. Because of he couldn't go on forever. He died in old age, as Aaron did and those successors. But linked to his death was those that were in the city of refuge could then go back and enjoy their inheritance. They could go back to their hometowns and not be in trouble with the avenger of blood anymore. There was no more of that. They were liberated. So in one sense we see here there's a shadow of that it was not the blood of bulls and goats, but it was to do with the high priest. And the Lord Jesus, of course, is our great high priest. He did lay down his life. But he laid it down to take it again. So that he then could be Lord of the harvest, bringing in that harvest of his people, the death of the high priest. So linked to that death of the high priest, there's another way of looking at this as well. If we think of those who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before them in the gospel, as they've come into that city of refuge, they've come into the worship of the Levites, they've come into the city of God, they've come into that place of refuge. And they were enjoying, as it were, being with the people of God there. You might think, but it will all end when the high priest dies. I won't be able to stay in this city once the high priest has died. If we look at it from that aspect, we think then we have, because we have an enduring priesthood, he's never ending. The Lord Jesus has died. That great high priest has entered into the heavens. And now he has an enduring priesthood. And so those who have fled for refuge into that city, in that, if we look at it that way, they will never be cast out. They will always be able to be in that city of refuge, won't they? Because there'll never be the death. The Lord Jesus, as he's died and rose again, to die no more. Oh, the natural high priest, they died because they couldn't continue forever. But the Lord Jesus, that great high priest, when he rose again from the dead, therefore he had an everlasting priesthood. And there's a precious view there. But you might have said there's a strangeness here. You're talking about the manslayer is a picture of the Lord Jesus, in a sense. He represents his people. He's represented the dead one and represents his interest, and it's a sense of justice. But then you're saying they flee to a city of refuge, and that's a picture of safety and refuge, a picture of Christ. So which one is it? Is it the avenger of blood, or is it the city of refuge? Well, really, when we come to the cross of Christ, we have these two perfectly coming together. The one who is God's justice, you see, we read of the wrath of the Lamb. Out of his saving mercy, he is going to be the judge of all the earth. We read of it in Acts, that he has appointed him to judge the world, whom he raised again. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, will ultimately be the judge of the world. He will be the ultimate judge. And yet that judge, as it were, that pursues that manslayer as they're running towards this city of refuge, and that manslayer manages to get to that city of refuge before justice overtakes them. Then they are found inside that city. And that avenger of blood no longer has a claim upon them. And we see then that really ultimately those two meet perfectly beautifully in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 85 picks up those beautiful words, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You see, the justice, you'd say if somebody's killed somebody, there needs to be justice done. Justice is a good thing. People will cry out, we want justice. And they're right in that sense. Justice is good, but if you're on the wrong side of justice, it will destroy you. Oh, justice is good, but you see here, the one that is pursuing the manslayer, the one who is representing the justice of God, the righteous anger of God against sin, is the very one that drives them, as it were, to the city of refuge. And then in the city of refuge, they come to realize, through the death of the high priest, that it is he that has paid their price. He that has liberated them, the one that drove them in justice, is also the one that provides mercy. And you see, that's where the cross of Christ is so rich. It brings together justice and mercy. Justice is satisfied. There was the death of the substitute, but mercy is given. And so we see the two sides that flow so beautifully in the gospel. Justice and mercy. And of course, we slightly miss that in the English. In the English translation, they translate that same word as being the avenger of blood. In the chapter that we read in Numbers, they call it the avenger of blood is chasing them. But it's exactly the same as the word in the kinsman redeemer, the one that Boaz was to Ruth. The same person. Justice and mercy. The same person. And you see the coming together of how God is just and yet the justifier of the ungodly. Or of those that are in Christ. And so we see a beautiful picture here in the Old Testament of what the Lord Jesus Christ is to his people. He is that place of safety. And yet it is not just safety from some other bad thing that might happen to them. It was the avenger of blood. It was that person who was justly representing the one who had been killed. This was justice. If your child had been killed, you'd want somebody to protect them, wouldn't you? You want somebody to answer for them, wouldn't you? You wouldn't say, well, they just died, that's it, we'll move on. No, you'd say, who was it? Where did they go? The avenger of blood chases them. And they chase them, as it were, to the city. And there they find the refuge. A refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave the law, satisfied the law, and made it honourable. And that's the gospel. The gospel is for sinners. Those who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before them in the gospel. They haven't stood there saying, well, I'm not as bad as the person down the road, so we won't need to run. No, they've recognised that they come short of the glory of God. Sin is mixed with all that they do. They must make it to that city of refuge. And it's all linked with the death of the high priest. Their ability to stay there forever. In a sense, they have an unchanging priesthood. And therefore, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But in another sense, the whole way they got into that city, the whole way that they could be covered with that blood of Jesus Christ is because the high priest died. A picture of that which good things to come. The Lord Jesus Christ was that great high priest. He laid aside his glory. But the high priest in the Old Testament, he died just as in old age. But Christ, we read that we don't say that Christ died in old age for us. Christ died for me voluntarily. It's a different level, isn't it? Him who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all in the love. You see, the love of Christ's sinners. The love to his Father in upholding justice. If something happens bad to us, we want justice. We suddenly think that's a good thing, and it is. But when we're the wrong side of it, we suddenly think it's a bad thing. But you see, the fact is that the Lord Jesus came to this man receive his sinners. He came to deal with that. and to make the law honourable, and to make God's people accepted in the Beloved, the only place of refuge. May we each, by faith, enter that refuge and lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel. Amen.